Right, has everyone got their places? Galatians? So we're just reading from 1 to 12, and you pick it up from there, Coop. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ.
How about we pray and then we'll look at it together.
Again, Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is your word become flesh. And Lord God, we thank you that we have your word here in the Bible written down for us so that we can know you. Help us to think about what Paul has written and help us to be changed by that. Amen. Well, Lars and I have been working at Bangalow for the last few years. We're doing what you might call a church plant and get dirt and put manure on it and hope something grows. That's planting in the garden. But a church plant's quite different, thankfully, that you need to be telling people the way to be saved. We need to be connecting with people in ways that they listen to you tell them there is a God and this God can be known. And the way to know this God is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the real man who really visited this planet, who really engaged with people, who really died on a cross, who really came back from the dead, who really can connect us with God. We need to be building a community, a little group, a family of people, that is their brief. Day to day, we need to be finding ways to grow this church, to plant this church through the message of Jesus Christ. We want to do that with people in Bangalow, people around Bangalow. We don't care. People, we will sit still long enough for us to talk to them. We need to be building and planting the church with the message of Jesus. Now, in my wallet, I've got one of those little thin plastic cards that you stick in a hole in the wall and you get money out with it. Better than that, you can go to Bunnings and just wave it at a thing and you get stuff. It's a great little card. I just love this. I don't need cash anymore, which is good because I'm not allowed out of the house with cash. It's great. I just take my little thin plastic card. Now, to make this card work, you got to have a PIN, a personal identification number. This card will only work with this PIN. It's so cool because no one else can take your card and use it because only you've got the PIN. You keep it secret and there's only one number that will make it work. Now, that is a really good safeguard. It's a real pain in the neck if you can't remember what the PIN is. So Lois and I went on a trip to New Zealand last year, and I thought, oh, yeah, you know, we're putting everything on the card, credit card thing, and I thought I'll check my thing on the interwebs, on the phone, and I couldn't remember the PIN. And I tried, and it says, sorry, that's wrong. I thought, no, that's right. And I just kept, and they said, sorry, you're obviously not Mark Cooper White. You're gone. And they shut me out, and that was it. And I'm overseas, and I've got nothing. Thankfully, I had Lois, my full-time carer, with me, because she can handle all that stuff. But you see, you get one card and one pin that only works with that card. There's no other number that will work. And there's only one correct way, and that's through that number. Now, there's only one correct way to access God the Father, to access his salvation, his grace. There's only one pin that works with God. Any other way doesn't work. The good news is the pin for access to God isn't a secret. It is not one for you and one for me and one for you. It is the same pin for everyone. We can access God, but there's only one pin to access him. But it's not a secret pin. It is a revealed one. It is a public one. And of course it is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul's been telling people the pin number. He's been going from place to place, from town to town, telling people the way to be saved. The pin number. The pin. Pin number's a tautology, isn't it? It's just a pin. He's been going places. Now, the Apostle Paul, you might know, was someone who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He was someone who hated with a passion people who wanted to follow Jesus Christ. He hated them more than we hate crows and shoot crows every chance we get. Paul attacked followers of the way and tried to have them done away with. But then Paul gets knocked off his high horse one day by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, from now on, Paul, you won't be my enemy, you will be my leader. You will be my main man going from place to place, telling people that I'm the pin, that I'm it. It's an incredible turnaround. The Apostle Paul, hating Jesus, wants to shut down Jesus, doesn't want anybody to know Jesus or follow Jesus, all of a sudden stands up and says, guess what? Jesus is real. He really is the raised Son of God. How about that? And with his brilliant Jewish learning and training and heritage, he can apply all of that knowledge to proving that Jesus is the Christ. Wow, it is incredible. So we have a little map. And I'm just going to show you this map because I'm mad. The Apostle Paul was converted. He's on his way to Damascus. Am I allowed to do this? And Jesus meets him, from now on, Paul, you're for me. So he goes down to Arabia for a little while, and Brian just read all about that, and he goes around. So after a few years, he goes up to these little towns over here. See, Pisidia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. They're in a region called Galatia. So we're reading a letter that he's written back to the churches in that area of Galatia. He's writing to the Galatians. It's pretty good, isn't it? That's like if you went to Victoria and did some work down there, you would write to the Victorians. You'd write stuff like, stay there with your caravans. Don't come north. Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he's saying, you know the pin number. Stay with the pin number. Don't move. You see, we read in Acts, and we won't go to Acts for the sake of time, but Paul goes from town to town, all those little towns up there, I mean, he went to heaps of towns, but telling them Jesus is the way to be saved. And people heard that, and they were filled with the Spirit as they believed that. So it demonstrated to Paul and to everybody else, non-Jewish people could hear about Jesus, believe in Jesus, and be saved by Jesus. It was fantastic. And Paul went from place to place with the other apostles and followers and a team of guys. And they were just having a ball because they were telling people about Jesus and people were believing. And it's fantastic. And Paul's thrilled to bits. So then he heads on back around to the Syrian Antioch later on. Okay, we don't need that anymore. Thank you, Stuart. And he's starting to hear bad things about the believers up in the Galatian area. What Paul's hearing is that Jews are following Paul around. Wherever he goes, they come along after him and tell people, well, folks, as a matter of fact, Jesus is not the only way to be saved. There's more. You need more. And Paul's hearing that this is happening, and people are getting confused about what's the pin and what isn't, and he is really upset. So he fires off this letter back to the Galatian towns to say, bang, up the side of the head, what are you doing? It is a fanicum, apostolic slap up the side of the head. Now, in those days when they wrote letters, and this is a brilliant thing, they started off with who the letter was from. That's a great thing. I don't know about you, but you get a letter, straight to the back page, who is writing? You go, oh, it's him. But you don't do that. I love emails, because emails have who it's from right at the start. And in the old days, it was the same. See, right, the letter begins, Paul, this letter is from Paul. He is an apostle. He is a sent person. That's what apostle means, sent one. He says, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle, but I'm not sent by a bloke. I am sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. I am sent by God the Father. See that in verse 1? God the Father who raised Christ from the dead. This Christ I tried to deny, I now preach. And he has sent me. That's who I am. That's what Paul says. Paul is telling people the way to be saved. The pin. He is like a postman delivering a letter to the places he goes. See, before he wrote this, as he went around preaching, he was delivering the message that God gave him to deliver. So if someone comes along after Paul and says, oh no, Paul's actually not telling you something what's right. Paul's writing back saying, no, I told you what's right. I told you what I was told to tell you. I was simply delivering a message that someone else gave me. You know, when you get a new card every few years, they replace your little plastic magic card and it comes with a new pin. And it comes with a little letter and that blanked out funny bit in behind the window. So you've got to open it and find your new pin. Well, Paul's like that. Paul's saying, I've got a letter from God. It is for you. It is the way to be saved. He's bringing the mail. He's sent by the Lord Jesus Christ with a particular message. See, he didn't make the message up. Look at verses 35, because that's kind of a summary of what the message has been. See, he's writing to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you. Where does that come from? From God our Father. It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father. See, that's a little summary. It's a retelling of the message that he's been the sent one of. And he's saying to these people, I told you what I was told to tell you. That's what I've told you. If someone comes along and wants to say, oh no, Paul didn't tell you what's right, Paul says, do not listen to him, because I'm simply delivering what I'm supposed to deliver. You see, something terribly rotten is happening to the Galatian people. Dodgy teachers are coming along. They're telling the Galatians Jesus is not enough. That they're saying the pin Paul gave you needs changing. He's told you what he says is the way to access God. We're telling you it's different to that. And that's what makes Paul so cranky, because he's just like a parent who sees a kid running out onto the road and he yells out, stop! He's really cranky that this is happening to the people he's preached to, he's seen believe, and he hears they're being corrupted. So he's really mad at that. So you see at verse 6, I am astonished you're so quickly deserted the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel. Paul's astonished. I tell you, as a pastor, there is no more heartbreaking news you can get to hear that someone you've talked to and they've believed and they've grown has said, oh, I've had enough of this, or I'm going to go off to this mob. That's heartbreaking. And this is Paul. He says, you bunch of mugs. You're deserting Jesus. You're turning to a different gospel, which, see verse 7, it's no gospel at all. It's not good news at all. It is bad news. You're turning from the pin, the one that works, to one that won't work. You'll be denied access. Somebody's throwing you into conversion, confusion, verse 7. They're perverting the gospel. They're perverting the gospel. This new good news is no good news at all. See, and that's why Paul's so upset. There's no other message that will work with God. There's no other way to be saved. See, and Paul says, even if you have a really special experience, but it's not telling you what I told you, don't listen. See verse 8? Even if an angel came and told you. Paul says, even if we came and told you a different message, don't listen. See, let him be eternally condemned. Those words mean they should go to hell. It's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? He's really angry. He says, if someone comes along and changes the pin, the one pin that really works, even if it's one of us, Paul says, don't listen, because there's only one message that works. And if someone comes along with that, they are not telling you the truth, they should go to hell. Don't listen. It's incredible. Even if it appears to be an angel. See, people go on about angels. The Bible's full of visits by angels. They're real. God's message, as Paul says, don't listen if they're not telling you this wallet pin. It makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it, when you hear the Apostle Paul going off like this. You think, oh, shouldn't he be a little more tolerant? I mean, aren't Christians supposed to live and let live? I mean, don't you know people? You probably, your mum or your kids or someone you love dearly believes different stuff to this one correct pin. And shouldn't we be a bit more tolerant and think, oh, you know, it's okay to believe what you believe. It's all right to change it a bit. I mean, you got most of it, right? Isn't that what we think? We think, oh, you know, all religions are the same after all. After all, we all worship the same God. That's not what Paul says. Oh, we mustn't judge. Garbage, says Paul. Go to hell if you're not teaching the message of Jesus. See, it sounds really harsh, but it's not harsh because what's at stake? See, Paul's angry. He's urgent. He's passionate because people he cares about, they're playing with their eternity. And there's these mongrels who follow him around, corrupting the gospel, perverting the gospel, and mucking around with people's eternity. And Paul's cranky about that. So what he wants to do is establish the fact that the message he gave them, the one pin, came from Jesus and not from him and not from anybody else. No one has the right to ponce around and make up a way to be right with God. That's what he's saying in verses. Have a look in verse 11. I want you to know, you lot, Galatians, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. You know, how do you know how to be right with God? Oh, well, you sit cross-legged on the beach. And it'll come to you. Fair dinkum. How do you know how to be right with God? Well, go for a walk in the rainforest and have a healing walk. There's a van, gets around Bangalore. That's what you can do. I mean, it's not something man can make up. God has set the pin. We are sinners. He will graciously spare us if we trust his Son who died for us, who gave himself for us to rescue us from this present evil age. Verse 12, Paul says, you see, I didn't receive the message from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ, straight from the lips of Jesus. Paul the sent one, sent with a message. Here's the message, Paul. You must take this to my people who are going to believe. That's what Jesus told him. So Paul goes, yep, give me the message, I'll deliver it. And he's saying in the Galatians, don't listen if someone brings a different one because Jesus made this message up. God has created this plan and put it into practice and revealed it to everyone. So don't listen if someone comes along and tells you a different one. Because the message I delivered, I didn't receive from anywhere else except from the Lord himself. It is pure. It is unchangeable. We mustn't change it. And we mustn't listen to anybody who changes it. See, maybe the people who followed Paul around were just saying, oh, yeah, that Paul, you know, he's just saying what other people have told him to say. You should listen to us. I mean, us Jews, we've been around longer than this Jesus bloke. Listen to our heritage. Listen to the stuff we're telling you. This Paul, he's probably just, you know, found it somewhere at a roadstop cafe. And Paul's saying, no, I'm sent by Jesus with the message from Jesus. So when he hears that these people are turning from what he's told them, he knows they're turning from the only way to be saved. They are deserting Jesus. They are listening to a perverted gospel that won't work. Excuse me. Paul's teaching, I mean, we've got to see that there's only one message. There's only one way to be saved. And we want to build a community of people who love the Lord, who are right with the Lord, who want to connect with others. There's only one way to connect into God, and that is through Christ crucified. We must clearly portray to the people around us Christ crucified and urge them, trust this Jesus. This is the way to be saved. Sure as eggs, you'll be right when you trust Jesus. That's what we've got to do. We've got to keep on doing. There is only one message. And we've got to avoid the tendency to change, to adapt, to water down, to become fluffy to suit the age we're in so that we don't offend anyone. We've got to stick to our guns. There's only one way to be saved. And we've got to model that. We've got to make sure that we demonstrate what it is to believe in Christ crucified. That I humble myself in order to serve others. That my Lord is Jesus Christ, not me. That is a community that becomes attractive. That non-believers will think, look at that, this Jesus fellow actually makes a difference to these people. And on it goes. The way we love each other, by our love we just sang, people will think this must be the way. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep doing it. See, it's not popular to stick with the gospel, to say there is only one way. That is very unpopular. And even as a pastor of a church family, I cop flack from people because I want to say, no, there's only one way. People say, oh, you know, if we all unite, then the world will know. No. We all got to stick to the one true message. And Paul says you got to do that. Because the message isn't something we can pick or choose. It is given to us by Christ. See, the message isn't about what we've got to do to be right with God. The message is about what has been done. That's what makes Christian community even more unique. We stand forgiven sinners who have to do nothing in order to be right with God, except trust Jesus. How cool is that? That is a great community. Oh, what do I have to do to fit in around here? Nothing, mate. It's all been done. What about a bit of religion? No, you don't need it. What? Sounds good. What about a few rules to keep? No, it's all done. How good is that? What kind of community? Included in Christ. And we're going to have a look at that later when we get to chapter 2. See, Paul was, in verses 3 to 5 in chapter 2, people are saying there are rules you've got to follow. People are saying, Paul and companions, you must follow the Jewish rules. Our heritage. We're Jews. We believe Jesus, but we want to do this other stuff. See, people are following Paul around, and you're looking at Acts chapter 15, and they're saying, you must be circumcised and obey the laws of Moses, otherwise you can't be saved. Now, circumcision is a weird thing that the Bible goes on about a lot. But in Jewish tradition, it was fair dinkum. At 8 days old, you had your son circumcised. He was part of God's people then. That's why the Bible keeps going on about it. It's an old Jewish thing. And people were following Paul around saying, nah, believing in Jesus isn't enough. Oh, but they said I don't have to do anything. Nah, sorry, mate, nah, you've got to be circumcised. Oh, but they said there are no rules for me to fit. Nah, sorry, mate, nah, you've got to obey all these rules. All these rules. And some rabbi, helpfully, in about the year 1200, went through the Bible, and there's 613 commandments. So there's the 10 commandments that we like to kick around. That's the first 10. There's 248 do commandments. There's 365 don't commandments. And people are following Paul around saying, oh yeah, this Jesus stuff, yep, died, yep, opened the door, made it possible, yep, but you got to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses, or you can't be saved. Everybody's going, oh, good grief, you're kidding. And Paul's going, yes, they are kidding. It's not true. You don't have to do it. Don't listen to them. They're fake Christians. Have a look in chapter 2, verse 3. See, Paul's taking these people on. He's trying to set them straight to fight them. And see, he says, Titus, and him and Titus is a Gentile, a non-Jew, an uncircumcised person. He's going around with Paul telling people about Jesus. They go up to Jerusalem, and not even Titus, who was with me in verse 3, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, to make us slaves to the Old Testament laws. So we didn't give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. See, Paul says we couldn't give in. If I had given in and said, right, yep, be circumcised to shut these people up, the whole gospel truth would have collapsed. Paul had to take them on, had to fight and say, this is a gospel issue. We will not let these people be circumcised. Because there are no rules you have to keep to being God's people now. Paul's saying, when I went to Jerusalem, I went toe-to-toe. I fought them. He says, I had to. Otherwise, the truth of the gospel would not have remained with you. Do you see? If he had a buckle, everybody went, okay, Paul's buckled. It's over. You have to obey the laws of Moses. Paul says, we went to Jerusalem, we worked it through with everybody there, the people who are important, and we nutted it out. See in verse 6, as for those who seemed important up at Jerusalem, they added nothing to my message. Remember, I gave you the message Jesus gave me. On the contrary, they said, yeah, Paul, this is your job. Take this message of yours to the Gentile people, the non-Jewish, the uncircumcised. Keep at it, mate. Keep telling them exactly what you've been telling them. No rules. Nothing added. It's just Jesus. See, we've got to stick to the gospel ourselves so that people see the truth of the gospel and we don't give in. If we collapse and say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Oh, yeah, sure, Jesus is the good surefire way, but there are. If we do that, the truth of the gospel is gone and that people don't hear the truth from us. It's not popular, but we must do it because there is only one way to be saved. And people's eternity is at stake. On and on and on. So we've got to keep doing that. Should I stop? I got no idea. I didn't bring a clock. I got no idea. Yeah, all right, let's pray. Oh, Lord God in heaven, your great mercy that you would make a way for us sinners to be rescued from this present evil age, that you would send your precious only Son to die in our place for our sin, our wrongdoing. Oh, Lord, that love is so wonderful, and we thank you now for it. We thank you that we can stand confidently in your love because it's got nothing to do with what we do or manage to not do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we thank you so much for the Apostle Paul, for the way that you changed him from an enemy to a collaborator, to a promoter of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the way he suffered so much to promote this message that you gave him, that he was willing to fight so that the truth of the gospel might remain. Because, Lord, all these years later, we still have the truth of the gospel. And we're so grateful for that, for the people you've used, the people who've suffered down through the ages to preserve the truth. So, Lord, help us to preserve the truth, to believe it, to model it, to form a community by it, that we stand in grace with no rules, no regulations. Lord, help us to connect up with those who don't yet know the way, who don't yet walk in it, so that we might bring them in to a loving community that is saved through your great and precious Son. Amen.